This is Anton Yeshenko and welcome to A Side of Data, a podcast about unconventional side of data science. In this episode of A Side of Data, I'm pleased to welcome one of the most cited computer science researchers in the world, with over 100,000 citations on Google Scholar and index of 147. H index. He published papers, books, founded conferences, and holds positions at several institutions, including RWTH, Aachen University, Technical University of Eindhoven, Queensland University of Technology, Fondazione Bruno Kessler, and others. In addition to academic success, he is also very well known in the industry. The companies that brought his research to industry are Celonis, Flexicon Disco, Process Gold, and many others. Because of his influence, he's called the godfather of process mining. He's an inspiration to many data and process scientists. I welcome Will van der Aalst to the show. Good day.
Hi, Anton. It's great to be here.
I'm very happy that you have time for the recording of this episode. And especially, I'm very excited because process mining took off, especially in the last years, very well with introduction of, for example, Celonis. We got a lot of investments. Also, you got Alexander von Humboldt professorship. And all this is just showing that the process mining is becoming more and more relevant as a science. But I think that many people, including myself, are very curious. When was the first time the process mining term came into being? And basically, maybe I think you're the best person to answer this.
Yeah, so I'm going to give a bit of a longer answer to that because it's a bit of an interesting story. So the first time I used the word process mining, I can still look that back, was in a research proposal that I wrote in 1998. Yeah, so that's the first time, if I look at my laptop, that I can trace back where I have used the term. So that was the time that I had, let's say, a longer sabbatical from Eindhoven. And I was preparing for a new position. And in this new position, I was going to work together with Ton Wijters, who would be in my new group. And together we discussed what we could do together. And out of that discussion came, let's say, this research proposal where the term process mining was being used. If you look at, at that time, let's say at the end of the 90s, my general feeling why I felt, working in this space was very much my disappointment when it would come to simulations and, workflow management. I was a strong believer that, process management, being very explicit about processes, automating processes, that was very important. But at the same time, I was very disappointed in the sense that if we would do simulation studies would very often give results that were very far away from reality. And also in the 90s, then my main topic was, workflow management. We introduced also in companies many workflow management systems, and they were often like a failure. And if you read about the studies that Hayo Reyers and myself did together, there was also lots of evidence that the introduction of workflow management was often very problematic because reality was very difficult, was very different from what people would model. So that was a bit the background. And then I started to work on this. And I immediately got fascinated by the types of problems that were there. So also at the end of the 90s, I was very much thinking about the things that would later end up in the heuristic miner and the alpha miner, etc. What is funny, because you asked about the term process mining, although I had mentioned that in my proposal already in the late 90s, the term that we used in our papers in the first couple of years was often the term workflow mining. And the reason behind that was that we were doing very much research into workflow management systems, workflow management languages, and that explained this. And so we are also very much interested in finding processes, not just any processes, but processes that could be described with workflow nets. So what you see is that in the early years, we often wrote in our papers the term workflow mining, but it very quickly became clear that process mining is much broader than things related to workflow automation. It can be applied in any domain and also in situations where you would not consider using a workflow management system. And that's why we translated it back to the original term of process mining, because we felt that that is more general. Mm-hmm. Sorry for the long answer.
No, it's interesting, especially because I think this term is somewhat borrowing from the data mining, right?
Yeah. So, like, I think the term process mining, is interesting, right? It generates, let's say, two kind of responses. One of the responses is that process mining, is that not a form of data mining? And the problem with that is that on the one hand you can say, we are doing mining, in other words, we are doing a learning approach and we are trying to learn processes, and we use event data, so we use data. So at an abstract level, I think, you could say process mining is a kind of data mining. But on the other hand, if you look at the algorithms that we, let's say, have developed over the last, 20 years, these algorithms are completely different from the things that you see in data mining. These days, people don't talk about data mining anymore. They talk about machine learning, and there you have a similar discussion. That people think, is process mining a kind of machine learning? And on the one hand, you can say, yeah, it is a kind of machine learning because you're trying to learn something based on data. So that is very much true. But at the same time, if you look at process discovery, you look at conformance checking, they have nothing to do with what is mainstream in machine learning. So it is unrelated to neural networks. It's unrelated to support vector machines, to decision trees. It's something very different.
Mm-hmm. Okay, because I think this question is actually quite oftenly discussed about the difference. But another question is also was interesting. When was the first time you heard someone call you actually godfather of process mining?
It is completely unclear. You're not the first person to ask that. I was talking at a winter school the last 2 days, and the same question popped up a few times. And honestly, I do not know. So we should look in the web history to see where this term came from.
Yeah. Okay. Then, as now it's just the beginning of the basically of new decade, I wanted to ask you to summarize. What were the maybe three or more, what were the most prominent developments in process mining in your opinion up to now, in all the years?
Yeah. So if you look on over the last 20 years, then I can sketch what in my view were the main developments, but perhaps I should separate that between, what happened in science and what happened in industry. So if I look at science and let's say, as I said, we started doing research in the late 90s, I think the prominent developments that have happened is that, first of all, it started with discovery. And if you look at the development of the field, it started with the alpha algorithm. There was the heuristic miner that is basically a variant of the alpha algorithm, also taking into account, fuzzy factors like probabilities and inclusive ORs, etc. That was there at the beginning. Then there was a phase where there were more, sophisticated techniques, like, for example, the region-based techniques, like state-based regions and language-based regions, which seemed, let's say, very promising, but in the end had difficulties because they, although they had many very nice theoretical properties, they are not very scalable, so they are slow on real-life applications, and they also have difficulties dealing with infrequent behavior and incompleteness. And then, like, I think in discovery, this these experiences led to the development of the, let's say, inductive mining family of approaches, which are now a technology that is, let's say, scalable, quite robust. There is still room for improvement, but what you can clearly see if you look at, like, if you reflect on history, in the field of discovery, you can kind of see it was there right at the beginning, and it's still an open problem, right? We are still trying to improve these algorithms. So that's one perspective on the scientific development. Another perspective on the scientific development is, let's say, the importance of conformance checking. So the let's say the late 90s until 2004, we did not really think about it, although it was a bit implicit in when we were evaluating discovery techniques. But I think it was the PhD work of Anne Rosinat that was the first major effort in developing conformance checking techniques. So that was, let's say, around 2004, 2005, that this initial work was done. Then we very quickly got into this token-based replay, which was, the main thing to do for many years. And then later, this was, let's say, replaced by the notion of alignments. So token-based replay can be implemented rather efficiently. Alignments are, on the one hand, more beautiful, but from a computational point of view, also much more demanding. And what I find interesting is that many people in the field today would say that conformance checking is as important as discovery, while that was not seen like that in the beginning. So that in that is the like history of conformance checking. And I think today there are still, this is not a solved problem, specifically the computational aspects of creating alignments in real-life applications with millions of events is very problematic. So there's still room for more work. And then the last scientific development that I could mention is, let's say, the work on operational support. Next to trying to look at data from a historic point of view using discovery and conformance checking, also trying to use process mining results for predictions, recommendations, changes, alerts, up to, let's say, robotic process automation and automatically changing processes based on the things that are going down. And so I think also in operational support, you can see that there is this growing maturity, but at the same time, many of the problems are still not completely solved, and there is lots of interesting work that you can see. So this is one view that would be the developments in the science of process mining over the last 20 years that I think are, most important and most prominent. In a parallel universe, there is also an industry that, definitely started later. So the first real process mining company was founded by Peter van der Brandt, Futura Technologies, that later became part of Pallas Athena and Lexmark. And if you look at commercial tools, then in academia, we found it very important to learn models with higher level constructs like concurrency, like PetriNets, BPMN, EPCs, etc. These industrial tools, they did not at all spend any effort on that. So what the, many of the tools are still doing, if you open them and you look at the first models, they are still simple directly follows graphs. And they are very powerful because they are very simple. You can compute them very efficiently. You can annotate them with frequencies and times. And that has been, let's say, for a very long time, let's say, the foundation of these industrial tools. Very different from what was happening in the academic world. What you could see over time in industry, this directly follows graph remained basically the basis of these tools. And there were lots of, let's say, implementation efforts to refine things. So, for example, they all adopted things like token animation. By the way, that was first done, let's say, in PROM around, I think, 2006. That we integrated. But later, all the commercial tools adopted that because it was something that was important for selling the tool. Also, scalability, of course, I think commercial tools should get credit for the fact that they provide process mining with a good scalability and also good usability and ways of filtering. Yeah, so they started from the DFG, the directly follows graph, and they improved that in various ways. I think if you look at the latest development, and I'm now talking about, let's say, the last 5 years, what is becoming very prominent in industry is that it is not enough to have a tool that is focusing on a data scientist using process mining in an offline setting. I think if you look at the success of Celonis, but you could also think about the success of ProcessGold and some of the other vendors, it is not because they sell tools that can be used in a project and then the project is over and people need to go to the next project. I think if you look at the real success stories of process mining, the real success stories, like for example in Siemens and BMW and many, many other the larger companies applying process mining, it is in the continuous use and not the use by the data scientist, but the use by the people that need to manage processes. And I think this is a very, let's say, important development, which was probably spotted in industry first, and where, let's say, now science is trying to keep up. And so what I hope is interesting from what I just discussed is that you can see that the scientific development and the industry development has been very different, with very different accents where the emphasis was.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and just additional question to this: do the industry do they develop some like unrelated to research methods that cope with this continuous usage and simplified usage, or you would say that it's all influenced by research?
So if you see the continuous use of process mining, then if you can see, okay, showing the process model, showing bottlenecks in the process model, et cetera, token animation, these are all things that come very much, I would say, from the research domain. What I think more came from industry was this, let's say, observation that doing process mining is not like doing a project. Like I often use the metaphor of making the weather forecast. So if I would say making the weather forecast is a project, then I could say, okay, I want to predict the weather next Sunday. Let's try to collect all the data. Let's analyze all the data from all history. Let's build a model and let's try to predict what the weather forecast is on Sunday. Then we make a PowerPoint presentation of what we think the weather forecast would be. And then we are done and then we go to the next project. If I explain it like that, I hope that you understand and that you see the problem. If you do it like that, process mining will be much too expensive. Like the value would be relatively limited and you would need to do a lot of effort. However, if you say, no, process mining is not a project, process mining is a continuous effort, so then it is the continuous effort that you generate a weather forecast every day, and that you show where it is raining every day, and you don't want one person to see it, but you want all the people in the company to see it. And if you do that, then the value is much bigger. And that, of course, requires, let's say, a lot of engineering. That is for commercial vendors, having a lot of manpower to do that is, let's say, easier than people working in academia. Because, for example, you need to connect traditional BI functionality like pie charts, bar charts, with the underlying event data, such that if you click on a pie chart, that you update the model to reflect the cases that only correspond to that.
Mm-hmm. But then my question is the process mining becoming the tool to that helps to make a change in the process, or is it as basically kind of a BI tools that just shows you statistics? Or in my view, it was to find the problems and actually change the process before. Yeah. But if it's about the weather forecast, it's just to support the process continuously.
Yeah. So I think, but that has to do with different levels of maturity of an organization, right? So I think at the beginning, it is more than enough to just show what is going on. And the reason that I say that is that if you apply process mining in a practical setting, what you often see is that processes are very different from what people expect them to be. And this is a very important first step. So people then suddenly realize, although perhaps implicitly they know, but then they suddenly realize that they are spending 80% of their resources and time on 20% of the cases. Like I think a nice example is if you would look inside Siemens and you look at one year, you can find like thousands and thousands of different variants of executing a very basic process, order to cash or purchase to pay. If you look at that there is so much low-hanging fruit where you just need to visualize what is going on and people will realize that they need to do things. And that's, I think, an important first step. I think after you have gone through this first step and you've basically you've taken the low-hanging fruit that is there in an ad hoc way, I think then it makes sense to start thinking about, let's say, more systematic forms of process mining, where you, for example, based on process mining result, you try to automatically take actions. Yeah, so if you look, for example, at the action engine of Celonis, or you look at developments in the field of robotic process automation, so all the robotic process automation firms are looking at process mining for solutions. And there you can see it's not just diagnosis, it is also intended to really change the processes. But I think the second phase only makes sense after you understand your process and it is in control. Otherwise, it is a waste of time.
Okay. Then after giving this nice historical overview, what do you think in the next 10 years, what will happen in industry and research in process mining, the main things? And even more interesting question, what do you think, what do you wish to happen versus what do you think will happen in development?
Yeah. So let me start with what I wish that will happen, where I'm not so sure whether it will actually happen. So it will probably happen, but the time frame is not so clear. But what I would like, would wish that would happen, let's say in the next 5 years, on my wish list first would be that process mining would be adopted as a relevant problem by the larger machine learning and data mining community. I think these problems that we are looking at are super relevant. I think in these communities there is a lot of brain power and experience of dealing with data, also when it's large and messy, etc., etc. But sadly, most of them are not aware that these problems exist and that the problems are very different from the things that they have studied so far. And that many of the things that they did until now cannot help be used to improve processes. So I think that that would be something that would make me happy. What we see is that, let's say, the process community, let's say the broader business process management community, has embraced process mining as the one of the key technologies for the decades to come. But a similar response has been missing from the, let's say, more machine learning data mining communities. That's one wish. Another wish is that, as I tried to explain before, I think discovery and conformance checking, although they are the oldest problems that we study, they are still unsolved. So I hope that there will be exciting breakthroughs in, let's say, both process discovery and conformance checking that will change things in an exciting way. And so, for example, if I try to clarify that a bit, it is still the case that if I use a process discovery technique and then I repair the model by hand is typically still better than the thing that I discover automatically. And so that shows that there is still room for improvement and we need different breakthroughs. If we look at conformance checking, I think something that is still very much neglected in conformance checking are the notions of, let's say, probability and time. So I can have two processes that have exactly the same control flow, but that behave completely different. And I think new ways of thinking are needed. And for example, the thing that I presented at BPM, where we are using the earth mover distance as a measure to do conformance checking, is an example of thinking about things in a completely different way. So I hope that there will be things like that. Another thing that I hope, where I'm not sure it will happen, is that vendors will finally embrace concurrency as being something important. I think there is so much evidence showing that a directly flawless graph is very problematic. Like if I have two activities and both activities always happen exactly once, but sometimes one is before the other and sometimes the other way around.
But what will be the solution? I mean, what?
Well, I think they know that these problems exist, but they are still selling tools, let's say, that have these problems. And what you are doing is you're creating spaghetti-like diagrams just because of this phenomenon. And then you use sliders to kind of then remove that complexity again, generating, let's say, diagnostics that do not make any sense, that look nice and easy, but if you dig deeper are complete nonsense. So I think that they know them. And I think it's very much up to the customers of these tools to force vendors to better do that. Because how it can be done is completely clear. That is on my wish list. And the last thing on my wish list would be that process mining is an important topic in the context of accounting and auditing. But although people acknowledge that it is important, they are still not really using it. And I think because it's seen as extra work, right? If we can do it in a simple, low-tech way, why would we spend extra efforts to do it in a better high-tech manner if we can get away with the classical way of doing that? So I really hope that there will be regulations in the coming years forcing organizations to follow auditing standards which are, let's say, consistent with the capabilities that we have today. So these are the things that I want to happen, right? If I think about the things that, and I'm not sure when they will happen, I'm sure that they will happen at some point in time, but the speed is a bit unpredictable. Then the things that that I think are a bit better predictable, of things that will happen, is that I think the application in the field of process mining will continue to grow rapidly. I think like this is not like a hype that will disappear. I'm sure that the real life application of process mining will continue to increase. What I also hope is that, let's say, this application of process mining will be geographically better distributed. Yeah, so what you can see is that process mining very much, let's say, started in the Netherlands and Germany, and then, let's say, extended to other countries. I think... one of the things, this is not something that I wanted to happen, but I also think that it will happen, that this geographic distribution will happen very quickly, perhaps not driven by academia, but driven by the vendors. So a nice example was I gave a keynote at the first process mining conference in Japan. This was a conference with 500 people. If you look in the US, like you can see that, for example, the efforts of Celonis are leading to much more awareness of process mining than 2 years ago. And so I hope that this distribution will happen. At the same time, I think that there are still, let's say, a lot of blind spots in the world. So if I would name an example that is like a country that is, I don't know, 50 kilometers from my office. If you look at France, there is hardly, let's say, any work on process mining. Yeah, so it's clear that France is lagging behind. And there are opportunities, and I think companies will take these opportunities to also establish process mining better there. So that's something that I see happening. Another thing that I see happening, rather soon, will be a convergence of modeling and process mining. I think it's it cannot be that organizations are using, let's say, process modeling tools on the one hand, where they talk about processes, and on the other hand, they are using process mining tools looking at the same processes while being completely disconnected. So I think these two worlds will converge. So I think that, the Signavios of this world will invest more in process mining, and the process golds and the Celonises of this world will need to spend more effort on providing a good modeling tool. This is something that I'm sure that will happen, because companies don't want to use two tools to talk about the same process. And it's also important that these two things are connected. So if people model something, they want to do conformance checking, right? If they discover something, they somehow want to repair the discovered models to then use them for documentation and reporting. This has to come together. Another thing that I already mentioned, that's perhaps the last thing, is that I think this trend of process mining going from something that is very project-oriented, like building an advice and a set of PowerPoints, to something that is happening continuously, I think that will happen. I think it is already happening. And linked to this continuous use of process mining, there will also be more and more emphasis on what could be called actionable process mining, where from the process mining diagnostics, it is also facilitated to quickly take actions to actually improve these processes.
Mm-hmm. Is it, you mean that prescriptive monitoring or recommender system, something like that?
Well, it's like, let me try to give an example. So if we look at like, for example, typical process mining diagnostics that we generate, right? So there are the diagnostics of the type that we show, okay, there is a deviation. Or there are diagnostics of the type, okay, here in the process there is a real bottleneck, or here in the process there is unnecessary rework. So using process mining, we are able to identify the problems. But what is often missing is that we are not connecting the identification of that problem to an automated action. So if we frequently see certain deviations, what should then happen? And I think there will be much more emphasis on, for example, if I do conformance checking, it doesn't make sense to do conformance checking on things that I cannot influence anyway, right? That they may be interesting for, let's say, a historic perspective, but if I cannot change it, there is no point that I like spend a lot of time on that. I should focus on the things that I can actually change. And that type of understanding, I think, will lead to more actionable forms of process mining.
Okay. And then additional questions such as, but development of process mining was always like in between, for example, machine learning, data science, data mining, all these fields. What do you think about like near future? Will it go further into formal methods or more using like machine learning techniques?
Yeah, so I think that process mining is like some people would say that it is a niche. But I think it is a very broad field of study, first of all, because it can be applied in so many domains. We are, applying process mining to the data generated by wind turbines, by suitcases in airports, let's say up to the traditional, let's say, administrative processes. So it is very broad in terms of application. It is also very broad in terms of the techniques that are being used. So the techniques range from, like if you think that about conformance checking, then that is very much related to solving optimization problems. To computer alignment, you're solving optimization problems. So I think process mining in its nature is already combining many different fields. As I said before, I hope that the machine learning and data mining community will see these problems also more as their problems that they would like to invest in and would also understand. At the same time, I think there is now too much belief in, for example, using neural networks. I would also advise young researchers, don't go into that direction.
Yeah, you once wrote like riding on the wave of deep learning can backfire. One of your slides.
Like it is pointless to do things that already many people have done before, where it is unclear what the added value will be and what the originality will be of what you do. So I would advise against that, doing that. At the same time, I think that there are opportunities. If you think about crossovers, I think there is a huge opportunity, for example, between people working on classical operations research and process mining. So we often look at, let's say, things like machine learning and data science. But if you think about process mining, it is also, of course, related to things like queuing networks, queuing theory. It is related to planning and optimization. And also, if you go to forms of more, let's say, prescriptive forms of process mining, it is clear that a lot of the things will come from these fields. And they also have a very, let's say, long tradition and a lot of knowledge that can be used in the field of process mining.
I would name several topics from process mining, and I would just ask you to comment on the ones that you feel like needs to be commented on. So, for example, there are topics arising like blockchain and processes on blockchain and process mining with blockchain systems. Then RPA, that is robotic process automation, then drift detection, and repairing process models, and mining preserving privacy. All these topics, what do you think, which ones of them are very promising for research and industry, or which ones of them are just will disappear soon or not good to invest your time into?
So if I go through your list a bit and comment on each of them. So if you think about blockchain, then clearly big blockchain is considered to be an important technology. I think it's already a bit over its hype, but it's clear that certain elements of, let's say, blockchain will remain. So on the one hand, I think it's relevant. On the other hand, I compare blockchain a bit with, let's say, cloud technology. Like cloud technology is something that is incredibly important. It has changed completely the architecture of existing information systems. So it's super important. But is the fact that data is in the cloud, or it is, I don't know, on-premise on your computer, does that have a big impact on business process management problems, process mining problems, whatever? I don't think so. So blockchain is important, but what kind of business process management problems that is generating is not so clear. Of course, there is work, and I've been involved in that. It's, for example, how can you use data that is stored on the blockchain for process mining, like making blockchains in a way process mining ready. It is clear that that work can be done. But as I said, it's a bit like cloud technology. It is important, but it will not generate so much new research questions. This discovery, conformance checking, operational support, all of these things will remain the same. I think there is a much more tighter connection to RPA, and that's what you can also see in the market, is that I call RPA often like workflow management for the poor, right? So what you really want to have is that you would really automate your process in a wonderful way, a bit like the way that we imagined in the 90s. This is only cost effective in processes which have a very high volume and are very structured. Like in most other scenarios, it doesn't make sense. It's not cost effective. It may either not be feasible or it is not cost effective. So I think what RPA is allowing organizations to do is to automate, let's say, processes partially, automate processes without changing the back end. So it's providing, let's say, much easier entry points to automation. And of course, it will, I'm definitely not saying it will solve all the problems, but it will give, let's say, workflow management a kind of second life where it can be applied in a cheaper way. In order to identify the situations where you can do that, process mining is, of course, a very important technology. I think RPA and process mining are tightly connected. Of course, process mining is much broader than RPA. RPA is like, you could say that is a niche. You can also apply process mining in situations where there is no robot at all.
But I even talked with colleagues and et cetera, but there is still confusion what RPA actually is. How is it helping the companies?
Yeah. So of course, there are many definitions, and there is, of course, the big problem that RPA is connected to the AI machine learning hype, and that they sell it as being something very, let's say, intelligent. I think in many cases, it's not intelligent. It's just like programmed functionality. So the way that I would define RPA are those situations where people are doing repetitive work. They are often doing manually the same things. and you would like to automate what these people are doing without changing the back-end system. So for example, people are, copying an address from SAP to Salesforce, or in an organization, in a large organization, somebody is changing address, and for some reason this address is in 10 different systems. If people are, let's say, full-time employed, like just copying continuously all this information between the various systems, it may still be too expensive to change, SAP, Salesforce, and all of these things to do that. But what you can do is that you can much more easily, you can replace the humans doing that by robots that do this repetitive work. So that would be, let's say, my description of what RPA is. And I think whether humans are doing something or a robot is doing, you want to monitor this in some way, because you have information that is like going from one system to another system, or going from one form to another form. So I think you should first try to record these types of things in the form of event logs. Then if you have an understanding, try to automate it and still use the same logging to monitor your robots.
Okay, clear. So about others?
Yeah, so one of the things that you mentioned was, I think, drift. So concept drift is that remains an interesting topic. I think one of the why is this from a scientific point of view an interesting topic is that processes are already dynamic. So in a process there can be loops, choices, concurrency, things happening in different orders. So there is already a lot of dynamic behavior. And that makes it very challenging and interesting to discover like dynamic behavior inside dynamic behavior. So how the process itself is changing. I think scientifically it is a beautiful problem. There are several papers out there. And I think it will be interesting to invest more time, probably focusing less on the control flow and more on things like compliance and performance. Because that is in the end what you like to see. If you have a car factory, it may be that the control flow didn't change, but the process was completely different. Because of the way that resources are being used, because of deviations, because of changing bottlenecks. Then another topic that you mentioned was the topic of privacy. This is of course a super important topic. Just by accident, I've given my lectures this morning, and that was exactly about these topics. So what you can see that at this point in time, I think industry is not yet willing to pay for really protecting privacy. So I think all the organizations say that this is important, but do not really want to invest in this yet. But there will be times in the future where they will be forced to deal with this issue, where somehow people want only their data be used in a particular way, and you still want to get certain insights that you cannot have. And there I'm thinking about things like, for example, encryption, anonymization, done in such a way that you still get the same process mining results. So you can still see compliance problems, performance problems. You can act upon them without knowing the individual events, because I think in many cases that is simply not needed. And so I think that this is a field that will grow in importance. So privacy is typically, privacy confidentiality is something that people already know about, and they see that it will become more and more important. I'm personally also interested very much in the notion of fairness. And this is fairness in the sense of, let's say, discrimination-aware data mining, where process mining is generating certain diagnostics, and you may automatically take actions upon them. But you need to be very, very sure that what you're doing is actually fair. And like to explain it in process is a bit difficult, but we all know, for example, that there is a very strong correlation between the amount of ice cream that is being eaten in a week versus the amount of burglary or the amount of criminal behavior. These two things correlate. So should I take the conclusion, let's say that people should no longer eat ice cream, then everything would be fine. It's a bit similar that if I have a process and I see a bottleneck and I identify the people involved in this bottleneck, and these people are the most busy people, then that's exactly the same as saying that stop eating ice cream, then everything will be better. It's like saying, okay, let's now let people work less, then the bottlenecks will be gone. There are many times, if you just look at correlations, you get, let's say, insights, but you should be very careful, especially if you interpret them or you act upon them, that you do this in the proper way. So a field that is, I think, many people do not know that it exists, but that will be very important, is what this fairness-aware forms of process mining that take into account these factors.
Okay, and I had actually two more separate questions, and one will be about what academia would be interested to ask you, and the second would be about what entrepreneurs would be. So about academia, I mean, everyone knows that you're very successful as a scientist, but you still probably made mistakes. And the question is, what were your biggest mistakes that you wish you could have done different in your research?
Yes, I think
activities.
Well, I would say there is no regret in that sense. But I think one of the interesting things to state is that if I look at the more, let's say, model-oriented work, like the work that I did, for example, on workflow verification, inheritance of workflows, let's say all this more, let's say, model-based work that I did in the 90s, if I would read these papers today and I look at them, then I basically would say, yeah, if I would have to write that paper again, I would write it in exactly the same way. Yeah, so nothing changed. I would do exactly the same thing. If I read my earlier, let's say, process mining papers, for example, the paper where we discussed the alpha algorithm, etc., then I think these papers, if you put them back in time, they were, let's say, beautiful, let's say, visionary papers at the time. But now I would write them completely different. So as I said, that is not, I don't see that as a regret, that I would like to go back in time and write them differently. It is showing that, let's say, in the field of process mining, we have gained a lot of insights that we did not have 20 years ago. So I think my view, let's say 20 years ago, was, okay, give me a data set and I want to find the perfect Petri net that describes the data that I've seen. That was kind of the research orientation at that point in time. Now I realize that is completely impossible, that due to you need to take into account frequency distributions, you need to take into account all kinds of other notions. So now I would write these papers in a completely different way. And so I think that what you can see is that because in process mining we are exposed to data, and each year we see new data sets, we are kind of forced to revise our, let's say, assumptions and our reasoning, because we are confronted with data that shows that we were wrong. If you look more in, let's say, just model-based research, if you prove a theorem, then that same theorem would still hold, let's say, 10 years later. There's nothing wrong with that.
Okay. But if you more about technique or the process of actually for example, writing papers, doing research, were there any mistakes? And in general, what recommendation could you give to like us PhD students or to young, like just younger researchers of how things, like how to do things, how to be successful at research or doing, how would you summarize?
So it's very difficult. As I said, I have no regrets. I would not be saying, okay, this I should have done differently. I think what is very important for researchers is to not look for quick wins. Doing research requires commitment, and you need to be willing to do things for a longer time. So I would not advise people, okay, let's now do process mining for a few years because there's lots of attention and then we do something different. No, I think you should jump into certain areas with the commitment for a longer time. And if you look at myself, that what you can see is that if you look at my career, there were basically three phases. There was, let's say, the PetriNet phase, where I was fully involved in proving properties over PetriNets, doing that type of work, let's say being reasonably successful. Then after that, there was like the phase related to workflow management. That's when we built these verification tools. We analyzed large collections of real process models. We implemented workflow systems like YAWL, etc., etc. So that was also a period that for many years we were trying to crack a problem, not superficially, but very deep. Then I could have continued doing this workflow research, but I decided, okay, no, I don't like this anymore. I want to do something different. And many people that today are, let's say, cheering about process mining and are doing the same thing have been very critical, let's say, in the first 5-10 years, asking why are you doing that? And so I think you need to make your choices, what you like to do. You should have a vision for a bit of the future and you should be in it, for a longer time. To really show the effects. Don't try to write something in a particular way that it will get into a particular journal, because if you do that, you will not enjoy your work in the long run.
But how not doing that can lead you, because we looking from our perspective as publishing a few papers, and if you see, for example, you published 700 papers and plus books, how could you make it if you invest a lot of time into actually studying some subject? Or was it just an investment that you made and now it's easier?
I think focus is one thing. Of course, one should never forget is that, although I think it's very clear also based on the papers that I've been, driving this type of research, I should also acknowledge that, of course, I had lots of, very good PhD students helping me over, the last 20 years. So I think it's very important to acknowledge that they did a lot of work. And later, because they did that work, they could also be very successful. I think as a PhD, you should not make the mistake of trying to compare yourself to a successful professor. I think that would be very unfair. If as a PhD student you want to be happy, you should look at, I did my PhD from 1988 until 1992. Just look on DLBP and look at how many papers I had, right? And I think that will make people relax and realize that you cannot be successful by just working 4 years on this. This requires more commitment and the willingness to change whatever you're doing and to try to do something original. Don't try to do something what all the others are already doing.
Nice. Thank you. And the questions for entrepreneurs. So what do you think? Is the market of process mining tools and consultancy based on process mining already saturated, or would you encourage opening new tools and like creating new products, or maybe a better consultancy on based on the products that already exist?
Yeah, so if you think about consultancy, I think we are just at the start, right? I think this process mining will be kind of a standard service that will be offered. I think what people that do that, they need to decide what they should specialize on, because process mining in the end is just a tool. And if you're doing consultancy, you want to help organizations, and you cannot say I help any organization. So there are also many like academics that are complaining we have difficulties working with industry. But at the same time, these are exactly the same academics that do not know what want to know what SAP is, right? And I think there will be lots of diversification, that there are, I don't know, companies that are focusing on certain processes, on certain markets, on certain types of tools. I don't know, specializing on process mining on Salesforce. And so I think that there we are only at the beginning, and there will be an incredible growth. If you look at the software tools, that one of the things that you can see is that there are now over 30 commercial process mining tools. And I think this is great. And I know of a few, let's say, new startups, let's say, in the pipeline that will also do that. So what I expect is that in the short term, perhaps this will grow even further. But at some point in time, there will be a shakeout, right? And I like people that are now entering the market, they need to think about, okay, how can we add to whatever that is there to be successful? So I think that people will need to specialize or really think about what is their competitive angle on all of the others. If there are people that think, okay, I now just built a tool and is building the directly follow graph with in blue the frequencies and in red the times, it doesn't make any sense.
But do you think there is something in the research and in the the clients want something, and there is in the research, but it's not being developed in startups or companies like Celonis right now? Do you think there is space for new developments?
Yes, yeah, so I think like what I said is a bit like the thing that I was indicated before. I feel that vendors will have to embrace concurrency, and I think there are possibilities for new vendors trying to do that properly from the beginning. As I said, there is also a convergence of modeling and process mining. That means that startups should focus much more on conformance checking, because that is the linking pin. And probably also think about, more actionable forms of process mining, how things are influencing. But if you, process mining is now like a rapidly growing field, and I think it's still very well possible for people to start a company. What you have to realize is that at some point in time, this number of people offering will go down. And that will be at the time that the market is still increasing in size, because that will continue to increase, but the number will go down. It's a bit similar to if you think about database systems. Any organization in this world is using databases and database software. But it is not that there is an infinite number of database suppliers. That number is relatively limited because it is becoming a commodity thing to do. But this is simply what competition is all about. There is now still the possibility to get into this market, but it is quite sure that I think there will be all kinds of mergers. I think what will also happen is that existing vendors in neighboring fields will simply buy companies to have a certain technology, And then that will also lead to like a reduction of companies. So for example, like very recently, the fact that Process Gold has been taken over by UiPath is such an example. Another example would be that all kinds of, let's say, traditional BPM and workflow management vendors, that they will, let's say, buy some of the smaller process mining companies to add these capabilities and then lead to a reduction of tools. And I think that's good. That's good.
And the last question I have is, what resources would you recommend for people just getting into the field to learn?
Yeah, that's very easy. And there's also some advertisement, of course. So I think still the best starting point to get into the field is to read simply the process mining book. Yeah, so it's the 2016 edition. I think it's important for people to really understand the basics. So you need to understand the alpha algorithm. You need to understand the notion of regions. You need to understand what an alignment is and token-based replay. You need to understand these basics. If you don't understand these basics, then you're missing something. And that will, in the beginning, perhaps you will not feel it, but after a while you will feel it. So I think the book would be an entry point. Of course, there is also still the Coursera online MOOC, which is another, let's say, easy entry point, where you get slides, you get software, you get data sets. And so I think it's an answer that can be answered very easily. That is where to get started. Having said that, I think there is that is at this point in time the way to get started, both for people in academia and in industry, because you need to have these foundations. What I think is missing are, let's say, more, let's say, practically oriented books on process mining that are vendor independent. So what you see is that the vendors, of course, provide lots of material and training, but whatever they do is that it will be very tool-specific. The things that are in my book are very much the foundations. And I think there is room for, let's say, books in between that talk more about, let's say, the methodology and typical things that you can find, at the same time being generic. So we all talk about purchase to pay and order to cash. And whether you analyze these processes is kind of completely independent what process mining tool you're using. There are certain things that you're always doing if you are analyzing these processes. And I think that is a bit missing at this stage.
Mm-hmm. Great, thank you. I will link your book and the MOOC in the show notes. And I think I'm out of the main questions and answers already for a long time. So
no worries, Anton. Make something nice out of it.
Thank you very much.
Okay, bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to this episode of A Side of Data. In case you have questions or comments, reach us at Twitter at asideofdata or via email asideofdata@protonmail.com.